Welcome to your daily briefing, November the 3rd, 2018. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you do. We thank you that today you have a special gift for us. You give us your word, you give us your guidance, and you share with us your strength. We place ourselves in your care again, asking that you would continue to indicate to us the direction which we must follow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today we're going to look at an article found in the Daily Beast. And the article was published October the 30th, 2018. The article was written by Pilar Melendez. Let me spell the first name for you. It's spelled P-I-L-A-R, and the last name is Melendez, M-E-L-E-N-D-E-Z. As I said before, the website is the Daily Beast, and the title of the article is Jewish Leaders Outraged by Jews for Jesus Prayer at Pence Rally. Again, Jewish leaders outraged by Jews for Jesus prayer at Pence rally. Now there's a paragraph that follows that. It's not quite a paragraph, just a couple of sentences which says the following. Michigan GOP candidate Lena Epson called her decision to invite Messianic Rabbi Lauren Jacobs a sign of unity. The Jewish community, which she is a member of, does not agree. And of course, that's a comment about the lady who is writing the article here. So let me give you the location of the article and the name again. It's found in the Daily Beast website. And the title is Jewish Leaders Outraged by Jews for Jesus Prayer at Pence Rally. Here's the article. Days after a neo-Nazi entered a Pittsburgh synagogue, shouting, "All Jews must die," before killing 11 people, Vice President Mike Pence invited a rabbi on stage to offer a prayer for unity. During his remarks, the man invoked Jesus as the Messiah. That rabbi was, in fact, not Jewish, they claim. Lauren Jacobs is a leader of a religious sect known as Jews for Jesus, or Messianic Judaism, which accepts Jesus Christ as one's Savior, a defining distinction between Judaism and Christianity. As such, it is not considered a denomination of Judaism. God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, God and Father of my Lord and Savior Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, and my God and Father too, Jacob's founder of the congregation Shema Israel, opened his prayer on Monday night. Let me read for you again how he opened that prayer. God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, God and Father of my Lord and Savior Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, and my God and Father, too. He ended his remarks with a prayer for Republican candidates hoping to win in next week's midterm elections. The sign of spiritual support from Pence, a self-proclaimed born-again evangelical Christian, occurred Monday during a Detroit rally for GOP congressional candidate Lena Epson, and caused the immediate outcry from Jewish leaders. The Jewish community is offended, period. They are allowing their political beliefs to trump their religious sensitivity. Jason Miller, a conservative rabbi in Detroit, told the Daily Beast on Tuesday, had Lena Epstein on Pence or Pence invited half a dozen religious leaders to deliver words of prayer, that would have been acceptable and appropriate. The only religious leader present last night was a Christian leader who calls himself a Messianic Jew. Now, let me pause there. I'll let you know that it is quite clear that there is a definite separation between these two groups. Any group who has been taught to accept Christ ultimately is looked down on by the Jews, the non-Messianic Jews. Of course, I'm sure that they have forgotten the source of much of the writers of Scripture. Continuing. David Kurtzman, executive director of the Jewish Community Relations Council, told the Daily Beast that immediately following Jacob's prayer, his organization has been getting nonstop calls from people who are deeply offended. The attack is believed, now, of course, shortly before the 20-minute shooting spree by the alleged gunman, 46-year-old Robert Bowers, a neo-Nazi who frequently wrote on a far-right social media website about killing Jews, posted an anti-Semitic conspiracy theory with the words, "Forget your optics. I am going in." Now, of course, he didn't say forget, but I'm not going to use the word that he used here in the article. The attack is believed to be the deadliest attack on the Jewish community in the history of the U.S., according to the Anti-Defamation League. We are focusing on Pittsburgh at the moment, but we were shocked to hear last night that the vice president chose to stand with a Messianic Jew after an attack on the Jewish community, a spokesperson for the Jewish Federation of North America told the Daily Beast on Tuesday. "Our religion does not recognize Messianic Judaism, and having him represent us does not send a good message to our reeling community." Of course, the man was praying, but of course they don't want any prayers addressed to Christ. Continuing. Followers of Messianic Judaism often claim their beliefs constitute a sect of Judaism. But because they follow the New Testament and preach that Jesus is the Messiah, they are not recognized by any mainstream Jewish movement in the United States. The syncretic group is also not recognized by the chief rabbinate, the spiritual authority for Judaism in Israel. If Epstein wanted to evoke a symbol of unity, she should have invited multiple faith leaders to her event last night, a spokesperson for the American Jewish Council told the Daily Beast on Tuesday. She missed the mark by just having one faith leader who is not a part of the religion who was just attacked. Jacobs, who runs the only Messianic congregation in the Detroit area, graduated from a Jewish studies program at Moody Bible Institute in 1979 before being ordained as a rabbi by the Union of Messianic Jewish Congregations. In a video on the congregation's website, aimed to prove following Jesus satisfies Jewish law, Jacob explained that he grew up in a Jewish community in Chicago, but always felt Judaism was spiritually missing something. "The truth is that Jesus is the Messiah, the King of the Jews, and he can fulfill us and complete us in our Jewish identity," he said, adding that he became devoted to Jesus after reading philosophy books in college. Jacobs and the congregation Shema Israel did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Epstein, who is running to represent Michigan's 11th congressional district, defended Pence and Jacobs following the evening. She issued a statement clarifying that she invited the rabbi to the event, not the vice president, because we must unite as a nation while embracing our religious differences in the aftermath of Pennsylvania. "Any media or political competitor who is attacking me or the vice president is guilty of nothing short of religious intolerance and should be ashamed," she wrote. "This is an effort of unity, yet some are trying to create a division to suit their political goals. The Republican Jewish Coalition echoed Epstein's defense, telling the Daily Beast that Mike Pence did not invite the rabbi to attend the event. He simply invited Jacobs on stage as a sign of unity. Pence's deputy chief of staff, Jaron Agin, also issued a statement saying the vice president heard Jacobs' prayer. He heard Jacobs give a prayer at the start of the rally and simply invited him back on stage so that everyone could hear him. He was invited by Lena Epstein to offer a prayer at the event, which he did early in the program, he said. The vice president invited him back on stage to deliver a message of unity. He was not invited by the vice president's office to speak on behalf of the Jewish community. Monday night's rally is just the latest misstep in a series of stumbles from the Trump administration following Saturday's anti-Semitic attack and a week that saw 14 pipe bombs mailed by a Trump supporter to prominent critics of the president. Trump, who originally called the Pittsburgh attack far more devastating than anybody originally thought, has adamantly refused to admit his rhetoric may have fueled any such political violence. Instead, he has focused the blame on the media and his political opponents. But for Rabbi Miller, the decision to use a religious leader not affiliated with Judaism as a sign of unity is just a form of damage control. I think she was backtracking and used the excuse rather than apologizing for lack of sensitivity for having an individual whose mission is to convert Jews to Christianity, the rabbi said. She backtracked and said it was out of concern for unity. Miller believes that Epstein, who is running against Democratic candidate Haley Stevens, chose the Messianic rabbi out of desperation because no actual Jewish rabbis would stand beside Vice President Pence. I honestly think Lena Epstein invited him because none of the mainstream local rabbis agreed to give convocation for a rally with Mike Pence, the father of three said. Kurtzman said members of his organization are calling for Epstein's apology because the whole thing seems to be a misstep in an effort to pay homage to the tragedy of Pittsburgh. Now that's part of the article, and of course you realize already what is happening here. There's quite a bit of conflict still taking place. The kind of conflict between Messianic Jews and mainstream Jews reminds me somewhat of the ongoing and continual conflict between Shia Muslims and Sunni Muslims, even though they believe they have the same religious faith. They are separated based upon their conviction about who should lead the organization. The Shia are known to be conservatives, and so they believe that only a direct descendant of Muhammad should run the organization. The Sunnis are a little bit more liberal in their thinking, and they believe that that a leader can be chosen by the organization to lead. It would amaze you to know that these two groups are seriously opposed one to the other. And of course, it seems as if what you have here now is a similar division between Messianic Jews and the mainstream Jews. So the question that you probably are asking is, who are Messianic Jews? Let's take a look at a website entitled Messianic Jews, A Brief History. Again, the title: Messianic Jews, A Brief History. The term Messianic Jew is one of several titles by which Jews who have come to believe in Jesus as the Messiah describe themselves. Over the centuries, Jews who embrace Jesus have called themselves Nazarenes, Hebrew Christians, Jewish Christians, Jewish believers, and Messianic Jews. The modern Messianic Jewish movement describes the larger community of Jewish people in recent days who have embraced Jesus and continue to self-identify as Jews, as Messianic Jews. Some have tried to articulate more detailed definitions of this community. And one of the organizations is named the Union of Messianic Jewish Congregations, described as the MMJM. The movement of Jewish congregations and groups committed to Yeshua, the Messiah, that embrace the covenantal responsibility of Jewish life and identity rooted in Torah, expression of the tradition, and renewed and applied to the context of the new covenant. So that's the organization called the Union of Messianic Jewish Congregations. Another organization called the Messianic Jewish Alliance of America. They are biblically based in their movement. They are committed Jews, meaning the lifestyle part of it. And they also believe in Yeshua, Jesus, as the Jewish Messiah of Israel, of whom the Jewish law and prophets spoke. Now, it's really interesting when you see the number of these little groups that have separated themselves based on the organizational side of it. But the one thing that is uniquely similar is that each one of them describes themselves first culturally as Jews, and then they add their belief in Christ or Yeshua as the Redeemer. Regardless of which definition someone chooses, each describes, one, a community of ethnically Jewish people who, two, have embraced Jesus, and three, continue to self-identify as Jews. And what they do after that is they construct little communities and integrate Jewish practice with faith in Jesus. Note that some have labeled the entire movement, along with individual Jews who have embraced Jesus, as Jews for Jesus. So there are those who have called all of the groups together and called them Jews for Jesus. The organization Jews for Jesus, however, is only one organization that has emerged as part of the wider organization. Though the term Messianic Jew is relatively new, the movement of Jews following Jesus began 2,000 years ago with the first followers of Jesus. This early Jesus movement was at the outset of a Jewish movement. Jesus was himself Jewish, of course, and he taught throughout Israel in Jewish communities and synagogues, as well as in the temple in Jerusalem. His Hebrew name was Yeshua, and his audience were almost entirely Jews. Some Gentiles attended synagogue without converting to Judaism. Known as God-fearers, they would also have numbered among his listeners. His language was Aramaic, the language of daily life, as well as Hebrew, used in the liturgy. He gave explanations of the Old Testament and told parables, which were stories with a point understandable within the Jewish culture of the time. The New Testament records an occasion when Jesus was invited to speak in the synagogue of his hometown. On one Shabbat, or Sabbath, he received what today we would call a call to the pulpit, reading the Haftarah portion of Isaiah 61, which described the mission of the Messiah. Jesus declared that he himself was that Messiah described by Isaiah. While his sermon provoked controversy, it is clear that his early ministry began in Jewish houses of worship. Likewise, the first followers of Jesus were Jewish. They observed the Jewish holidays, practiced Jewish traditions, spoke Aramaic and Hebrew, and believed that Jesus was the Messiah promised in the Hebrew scriptures. Papias, a non-Jewish leader in the early church, even claimed that the Gospel of Matthew was originally written in Hebrew. His claim has not been universally accepted, but many agree that if Matthew did not write his Gospel in Hebrew, he clearly wrote it in a Jewish dialect of Greek, because its grammar mirrors that of Aramaic and is distinct from that of other New Testament books. One scholar described the early Jewish followers of Jesus as those who practice circumcision and persevere in the observations of those customs which are enjoined by the law. For the original Jesus movement, the first dilemma they wrestled with did not concern Jews because in Jesus, did not concern Jews believing in Jesus, but Gentiles who did. Leaders of the movement debated how their communities should think about Greek and Roman followers of Jesus. Did Gentile believers in Jesus need to convert to Judaism? At a council here held in Jerusalem, the leaders decided that Gentiles must follow Jesus without converting to Judaism because, in fulfillment of God's promises in the Bible, Jesus is the Savior of both Jew and Gentile. And that's found, of course, in Acts 15. In other words, faith in Jesus was open to non-Jews and not just to Jews. So, of course, there's a little bit of history that is compiled here in this article in answering the question, who are these Messianic Jews? And the historian who is writing here is making the point that the original believers in Jesus, those who followed him closely, they were originally Jews at first. Rather an interesting concept that you hear the Jews, or the traditional Jews, being upset because a Messianic Jew offered a prayer. But of course, Satan manages on every level to separate people, no matter where they are, no matter who they are. He thrives on conflict, thrives on separation. Jesus indeed was the creator of the world, and he is the Savior to all men, Jew and Gentile alike. You and I must understand that even in this conflict, the enemy of souls has managed to wedge a separation so that coming out of this moment when all of those individuals have been mourning and saddened by the events that are taking place, there is this high conflict that has come between the Jews for Jesus and the traditional Jews. This is how Satan always works. And I want you to understand that he doesn't only work like this in the Jewish community or in the Islamic community, but he finds his way so frequently into the community of the remnant church, causing conflicts and separation and argument, so that these arguments and these conflicts become the obsession and the important messages that need to be presented are forgotten and ignored. We must be careful. We must be guarded. We must make sure that our lives are hid in Christ. We must do those things that God would have us do so that we might draw others to Christ, so that we will be ready for the day when the sky opens and the Son of God appears. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you keep informing us of the difficulties that surround us so that we might be guarded and prepared to face the times to come. We ask forgiveness for the time that we have wasted and the attitudes that we have displayed. And we ask today that you would help us to be strengthened in truth so that we might be willing to walk with you and be influenced only by you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, November the 3rd, 2018.